The Maker's House Chapel International presents Destiny Word with Dr. Michael Brady Damichek. As a child of God, you are mandated to take territory and fulfill your destiny. Destiny Word is designed to help illuminate your path towards a purpose-driven life. Please stay tuned for the unadulterated Word of God, a word that not only brings focus to your life, but also helps you navigate the challenges that comes your way.
I want to invite your attention and summon your senses to the book of St. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 12. I want to invite your attention to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 12, which is an interesting read. But when you get to the verse number 15, you'll find these words. I'm reading from the Thundering Dictionary of the King James Bible, and there you'll find these words. And he said unto them, who said unto them? Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Jesus said, take heed, beware of covetousness. Take heed, beware of greed. I'll look for another rendition and put it on the screen for you. Take heed and beware of greed. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. That comes just before Jesus had given the parable of the man that had said that he has no room to keep the treasures and belongings and his material possessions. But that is not our preoccupation for today. We want to stay on just the verse number 15 and share with you the infallible, unadulterated word that comes from the throne room of grace. I want us to pray right now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that the grass will wither, the flower will fade, but your word will abide forever. We pray that you give us a word that works. Anoint these lips of clay. Make it an instrument of a blessing to somebody's life. To the end, our voices, oh God, shall be lifted to you. And everybody listening to the sound of my voice will be edified. And you will be glorified. In Jesus' most mighty name, amen. Over the past couple of weeks, I've been sharing with you the cardinal sins, the things that we need to ponder and make sure that we don't have them within our fold. I've been sharing with you some of the things that our predecessors, the men and women that have labored in the faith, walked and labored in the faith and in the vineyard, made become stalwarts of our faith, wrote about the works, about humanity, about faith, where they meet, the things that they had said we should consider and make sure that they don't depart from our thinking, from as being mindful of them. We should always have our minds gazed or fixed on the fact that most of the time these are things that will come to us. But a man is determined, the strength of a man is determined not by the size of the challenges, but his ways of overcoming the challenges. And so anytime there is a challenge, anytime there is a temptation, a seemingly impossible situation or scenario that you'll be confronted with, anytime there is anything like that, whether around you, whether it's an external aggression coming, it is about how you respond. And so they made sure that they've told us the things that they called cardinal, they called capital, they called deadly sins. They said that there are many things that are very, very strong, but many things that people should run away from. There are many things that people should not get themselves involved with. I tell people, the devil did not come down from the heavens because the devil did any other but pride. And so in the realm, in the space of God, anytime anybody walks in pride, the person is committing or doing something that is really against what God would want the person to do. And anytime anybody does that, the person becomes an enemy of God and God fights the person. It's just as simple as that. I walked you through the cardinal sins, and just for the sake of recap, let me help you put certain things right. So the first thing we spoke about was that of pride. And I told you that pride is when a human being arrogates unto himself the unique or special prerogatives that are only available unto God. And so anytime anybody arrogates unto himself the unique privileges, the prerogatives, and the things that are supposed to be God's, the person is walking in pride. Pride is an act, is the mother of all sins. Pride comes before rebellion, right? And sin in itself, if you are to define sin, hamartiology is the study of sin. Hamartia is a rebellion against the sovereignty of God. And so nobody can rebel without pride. Pride is what gives birth to rebellion. When you feel, no, I'm bigger than this. I can't wait. I can't sit down for anybody to talk to me like that. You can't talk to me like that. You can't do that to me. I am this and I am that. And I am this and I am that. You are just dust that will go back to where it came from one day. And so stop saying I'm this, I'm that, and stop arrogating unto yourself the unique prerogatives and privileges that are only available unto God. Anytime an individual walks in pride, the person becomes an enemy of God, enemy number one of God. It's not somebody that, of course, all sins are condemnable before God. But if you are looking at the seven deadly sins, lust, sexual or immoral sins are sins that are a part of the deadly sins. But in terms of weight, they weighted pride above lust. And so if you are walking and say, oh, for me, I don't fornicate, I don't commit sexual sins, and you walk in pride, the weight of pride, in fact, exceeds the weight of sexual immorality, because it was pride that God could not stand. It was pride that made God say, you can't stay here with me. And the Bible says that anytime anybody walks in pride, the person becomes an enemy of God. The Bible says God opposes, he resists, he opposes. God is like the opposition party to anybody who walks in pride. So God opposes the proud and the arrogant, but he gives grace. He makes room for the humble. So if you want God to make room for you, stop walking in pride and in arrogance and humble yourself. The life or the good virtue that will overcome the deadly sin called pride is that of humility. Humility is from etymologically from the Latin word humilitas, which is also from a word or from the same etymology as humus, which is the ground or the earth. And so instead of you being puffed up, God wants you to go to the ground. Instead of you being elevated in your own thinking, I told you that word pride is covatus in se. Covatus in se in the Latin is when you cave, you dig a trench and you are in there because you don't see anything around you and you are in the hole. It's like digging a manhole or getting a manhole and being in the manhole. You are restricted to the walls of the manhole, and it is likely you are thinking that is all there is to the world. And that is the same thing to do with pride. Covatus in se. When you cave inside around yourself and you are there and you are locked up and you think that the whole world revolves around you and everything is I and I and I and I. If you are to read the book of Isaiah, when the account of how the eviction notice was sent to the devil, he was just saying, and I will ascend and I will build and I will place my throne and I will be like God. And I, anybody that is possessed and obsessed with the I, and everything is me and more and I and me and more and I, anytime anybody goes on that route or anytime anybody goes on that tangent, it means that the person is walking in pride. And God resists the proud, but he gives grace, he gives room, he makes room, he elevates the humble. Fast forward, we move from there and we spoke about envy. And I said envy is when somebody, a human being, insults the majesty, the sovereignty, the wisdom of God. Envy is when somebody tries to say that God, didn't you see? Didn't you look at this? Didn't you check this out? Didn't you consider? Didn't you notice that I'm better than the one you've given this thing to? Or this person is not as qualified as I am? But when God decides to bless a man, he does not consider what you will consider. And so envy is just trying to tell God, God, I am better placed. I live a more righteous life. I pray more. I do more of this. I do more of that. And why is it that I didn't have it, but my neighbor had it? Envy And in those days, they said the worst form of envy is invidia clericalis. And invidia clericalis is the envy among clerics. The envy among clerics, because, and I wonder why they said that even in those times, because anytime I consider that kind of conversation that they had even 1,000 years plus ago, I wonder, there was no social media for you to know what other pastors are doing. There was nothing for you to know what they are preaching, what they are doing, how they are even going about their work. And yet envy was there. It means the devil will want to plant seeds even among brethren. That instead of you being happy for your brother, you are envious of your brother and you wish them ill. You wish that something horrible will befall them. And that is envy. Envy, envy, envy is when you begin to question the sovereignty of God and you feel that you are better placed to receive something, and whoever has it doesn't even deserve it, doesn't, shouldn't even think about it, shouldn't even have it. And I told you that the godly virtue, or the life virtue to overcome this deadly sin called envy, is admiration. Instead of you being envious of your brother, being envious of what God has done, being envious of their elevation. If you see that your sister is getting married, instead of you being envious and saying that she doesn't have this and she's not this and she doesn't even talk well, she's not even a lady, instead of you going on and on and on and blubbing, admire. Celebrate the successes of other people. Celebrate them. Celebrate their exploits. Celebrate their successes. Show to the world that you're happy for your brother, for your sister. There are people that will never say anything good about anybody doing well because it's not them. That is a spirit of envy. It's from the pit of hell. And anybody that walks in envy, that exhibits envy, there is no way the person can say he has the Holy Spirit in him or the Holy Spirit in her. It's a deadly sin that needs to be overcome. And if you're going to do that, you have to walk in admiration. Celebrate other people. Celebrate the goodness. Celebrate the grace. Celebrate the lifting. If you see somebody is doing well, instead of you condemning the person, celebrate, club them on. Rejoice with them. Rejoice. Rejoice with them. Be happy for them. If you see a sister doing well, be happy for her. If you see a brother doing well, be happy for him. If somebody ministers before you come and minister in the choir or in the music ministry, the church that you are, instead of you finding fault and saying that, she sang well, but there was a part that she went out of key. Instead of you going into the nuances of it, will you please allow those of us who are laymen to enjoy the music without polluting and letting us know where the person even went off key? Celebrate other people. If you fail to celebrate people, you will never be celebrated. Lack of celebration is like witchcraft. Anybody who fails to celebrate people, the person is almost like operating with witchcraft. We spoke about that. I told you that the godly virtue to overcome it, of course, is admiration. Last week I did sloth, but before sloth I did anger. And I told you is that anger is when you are possessed. You are so incensed, you are possessed. You just want something to happen. That it goes beyond reason. You don't even want to listen. If anybody even needs to advise you, you wouldn't want to hear, you wouldn't want to know. That is anger. And I told you that the godly virtue to overcome anger is forgiveness. Now, last week I spoke to you about one of my favorite when it comes to talking about the deadly sin, sloth, laziness, that you don't have to, and most people do that. Most people do that. They itch for things they can't scratch. They want to, they build houses on their phones. Their wallpaper on their phone is a mansion they want to build. In their houses, they have printed cars they want to drive, pasted it on the wall. You ask them and they say it's inspiration. It's torture. Having a car on your wall is not inspiring. Having a mansion on your phone is not inspiring. You are torturing yourself. To have that car, you work for it. To have that house, you work for it. You move, you work, you work, you work, you work. God says he will bless the works of your hands, not the words of your mouth. And most of you have all the theories on how you're going to make money, and yet you can't make it. Because you slumber, yet a little slumber, yet a little sleep here and there, and poverty will catch you unawares. Do you know how many great people who had potential died wretched? Many great people, born, birthed with potential. They came into this world with great potential. They could have done more, but they died poor people because they failed to get themselves up. They failed to hold on to the plow. They failed to work. They failed to make their lives count. And they were just waiting. The times of manna are over. Come here. Come here. Let me talk to you. The times of manna are over. Manna don't fall anymore. Manna stopped falling a long time ago. That's not where manna is going to fall. It ceased to be with men. The days of opening the heavens and raining on them food to eat. God, when he had made Adam and Eve, placed them in the garden and told them to till the ground, dress it and keep it. Till the ground. God did not bring out that concept. I don't know where that evil concept, that evil ideology came by. I don't know how the proponents of those evil thought and ideology came up with that. Whereby they paint pictures, the portraits that they give us of Eden will be a man and a woman on vacation. Adam and Eve swinging on the trees, going around about their business, enjoying their lives, having carnal knowledge, and just being there on vacation. That was not what God had given them. In the garden, they were supposed to dress it and keep it. So in the garden, God brought them into the garden to work. And so God did not bring Adam and Eve to come and have vacation. He brought them to come and work. Jesus said, occupy till I come. The word occupy means do business till I come. And so Jesus expects you. God brought you here so that you work, you till your ground. Stop being lazy. Get yourself up, child of God. Aren't you ashamed that you hear, you are the one that is doing well? And almost all the Christian brothers and Christian sisters, if they want anything, they come to you. The burden on your shoulders are high. Because that brother, that sister doesn't know that it was because you got yourself up to do something with your life that gave you the change to give to them. Child of God, you probably might have been praying, wishing, believing, expecting that things are going to happen because you pray. It doesn't work that way. Get yourself up. A young man that I spoke to told me that any lady that tries to date, the lady leaves. The lady comes, the lady initially might accept to go out with him, and the lady will back off. So I asked him, what do you do? He said, I'm waiting on God. I wanted to spank him. Because if you are waiting on God to know what to do, wait on God before you even think of getting somebody in your life. Until you have rest, don't add misery to somebody's life. And if it was my daughter, I believe it was my daughter or my sister, I'll even call them and cancel them out of that evil relationship. I'm not saying a man should have money. That is besides the point. That is immaterial. A man should be hardworking. Because a hardworking man doesn't need to have money to be successful. A hardworking man can carve, beat his own path to success. Not talking about a man that is just sitting and just saying, I'm waiting on God. Get yourself up and get something to do, child of God. Slumber, sleep, sloth, laziness is what is killing you. You are too gifted to be wasted. You are too anointed to be rejected. The grace and the power and the might of God over your life is too strong that you don't have to allow yourself, your life, to go waste. Why is it being wasted? Because you are lazy. Get your lazy self up and get something meaningful to do with your life. Get up and work. My lady, get up. I was talking to somebody and I was told, talking to some of my sons here, and I was told that there is a particular lady who said, oh, you know, for me, I'm lazy, and so I want to marry a rich man so that the rich man will take care of me. Lazy girl, get up and work. If you can come to that conclusion that you are lazy and because of that you want a wealthy man to marry you, I can guarantee you that you might wait forever. And not only that, anybody who has that mindset is a slave for life. The spirit of freedom, that ease of life, is not what you are looking for. Get something to do meaningful with your life. Something meaningful. Make your life count. Your life is too precious. Make it count. Don't waste your youthful days. You sleep in the morning, sleep in the couch. Daytime, you are in the couch, zapping through channels, flipping. Watch this a little, watch that a little, watch that a little. Go on social media, watch the latest gossip. And so you are wasting your life away with people you have no idea. You don't even know them. And you are just wasting your life. Oh, I learned this person has done that. And what has that gotten to do with your bottom line? Do you think that gossip will pay your bills? You think it will bring you redemption? It is just a thief of time, stealing your precious times. It is today that you are in your 20s. It is now that you are in your 30s. It is now that you are in your 40s. Very soon you'll be 50, you'll be 60, and you'll be less mobile, you'll be less active. And what you used to do before, you realize that you can't do them again. And when it happens like that, that is the time that you know that you wasted your life. Get up. Don't go on that route or expedition of wishful thinking. Of seeing your nice, and you have it on your phone, you call it my dream house. You started dreaming. Wake up and start to work. You've been dreaming about that house. You've dreamt about the house. You've dreamt about the car. And that, unfortunately, that car that is pasted on your wall as your dream car was pasted 2017. Now they've made a new one. So by the time you are even ready for that one, new ones would have come. Get yourself up. Cars are not bought on walls. Cars are not driven on walls too. Get up. So last week I dealt with sloth. And this week I want to deal with avarice. Avarice. Or extreme greed. Avarice. Avarice or extreme greed. Greed. Luke's gospel. Come here, come here. Let's read it again. Let's read it again. Let's read it again. Let's read it again. Let's read Luke's gospel. Let's read Luke's gospel. Luke's gospel chapter number. Let's do it again. 12. Luke's gospel chapter number 12. Verse number 15. Let's read it again. Here. Come, come, come. Let's do it. Then he said to them, watch out and guard yourselves. Amplified. Against every form of greed. Amplified version. Then he said to them, who said to them? Jesus said unto them, watch out. Who was he talking to? If you read the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 12, it starts with hypocrisy. When he was talking about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, then he came to the power of God, that people should fear the power of God. So the third part of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 12, is that of covetousness or greed. Jesus is talking to them, and Jesus is saying to them, beware. He said unto them, take heed. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life, Amplified Version, for a man's life, does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Then he said to them, watch out and guard yourselves against every form of greed. For not even when one has an overflowing abundance does his life consist of, nor is it derived from his possessions. Listen, it is not in the accumulations that add to your value. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Your life does not consist of the overflow, the abundance, what you have. It goes beyond that. Greed is when you have, but you still want to have what others have. Not because you need it, but because you want to have all to yourself. Everything is about me, myself, and I. You want to have the best. No problem. I don't mind. Have the best. But the fact that you have the best doesn't mean nobody else should also have the best. Because that becomes greed then. The sky is too big for many eagles to fly without collision. The sky is too big for many aircrafts to fly without collision. It's the same thing. Watch this. The Bible says that a prophet had appeared to a ruler, a king. A prophet by name Nathan had appeared to a great man called David. Came to David and said, David, king, O king, live long, O king. I said, Nathan, prof, you don't just show up. You are not like some of these modern day prophets. You show up when there is a need to show up. Why are you here, prophet Nathan? He said, there is something that is bothering me, and I felt because of the wisdom that you have and the grace of God on your life, I need to share it with you for counsel. He said, okay, prof, go ahead. Your king is listening. He said, a man had everything, had all the goats, had all the sheep, had all the cattle, had all the ox, had all the donkeys, had everything, the big ones, the fat ones, the everything the king had, the man had. And there was a neighbor next door who had only one struggling sheep. This man who had everything, left all that he had, went to that neighbor and took what the neighbor had, slaughtered it, enjoyed it, ate it, did whatever he wanted to do with that sheep. The king said, did that happen in my kingdom? What man can exercise this level of greed and evil, commit such an evil act? Show me the man. Let me show him that I'm the king. Prophet Nathan said, king, please live long. But you are the one. The picture that is painted through that story is how greed can cause you to do the unthinkable. That you can have everything, but greed will make you even want to have what? Greed is the same thing as doing any, let me bring it home, make it very practical for you. Greed is when you do a business with somebody and the profit was 100 and you had 80 and the person had 20. And instead of giving the person his 20, you still go to the person and say that the 20 I think is too big for you. Take 5. Greed is when something that belongs to somebody gets into your hands and you don't want to release it even though you have it even in your house. Greed is when somebody sends you or asks you that, oh, I'm bringing you 2 television sets. I want you to keep one and give one to my other friend, and it comes and you put the one in your store and you are not using it, but you won't even give it to that friend. Greed or avarice, extreme greed. Jesus said, you should be wary, be careful. Beware of covetousness. Watch, be watchful of greed. Because greed will kill you. Greed, that thing that makes you go out there and you want what everybody has. And even if they don't want you to have it, you might even if you want, you have to kill, undermine, slander to have it, you'll go for it. That's greed. And if you're a Christian and you are struggling with greed, there is much more to be done. Because it's not supposed to be in your realm. You're supposed to be generous. You're supposed to emit Christ. You're supposed to exude his love, his nature, his person. That God so loved the world that he gave you. You love worldly things that you take. That's what it is. Somebody who walks in greed is just like saying, get all you can all you get, sit on it and poison the others. That is when you are walking in greed. But if you walk the godly virtue, the life virtue, that will make you overcome greed, generosity. When you are generous, the Bible says the liberal soul shall be made fat. The Bible says that he who waters, he himself shall be watered. When you walk in generosity, whereby you look for people to be a blessing to them, you want to be a blessing, you want to push people up, you want to lift people, you want to make sure people are blessed, people are lifted. That is the kind of heart and spirit you ought to have as a child of God. Not greed, not like a David that in spite of all that he has, will go after a Uriah's wife. Greed. That insatiable appetite for more. That quest to pile on, to add on. It will kill you. Greed will make you do the unthinkable. My prayer for you is that God will deliver you from such an evil hand. That you'll never walk in greed. That you will be generous. That you'll wish people well. That you pray that it will be well with people. That even if you know how others can become successful, you teach them. You not want to be. Listen, so what do you gain if you are called, oh, he's the only. You have never gotten to the top before. That's why you think like that. When you become the only tree in the desert, go and ask the trees in the desert. They will tell you that when the wind comes, when the tempestuous winds blow, they wish they had company. They wish they had company to serve as windbreaks. You want to be the only. Oh, he's the only. He's the only. If you become the only, you call for attacks. But if you wish everybody else well, when you get there, it's like a thicket. It becomes like a forest. Everybody is doing well. When everybody is doing well, room for envy is quite small or minimal. Save, of course, that person has an evil spirit. But if the person doesn't have an evil spirit, if the person lives in contentment, they are okay. But greed is another thing. They have. Greed is not that the person doesn't have. Greed is that the person has but wants more. And wanting more is also not a problem. But wanting more even at the expense of other people. That you shouldn't have it. What you're having, I want to add it to mine. And that is something that even when you have you have kids, you have to help them, deliver them, talk to them, and beat it out of them. Not beat the kids, no, beat that spirit out of them. How do you do that? And most kids exhibit that. Give a child 10 toys and let another child come there and give that child one toy. Your child that has 10 toys will leave the 10 toys and go and chase the one toy to add to the 10, which is telling you that greed is in it. You need to drive it out of you. If you are not mindful, everybody can be greedy. Where you have 20 cars, and when you hear that a friend of yours has bought one car, you are asking, when did he get money? Or when did he make the money to buy that car? As if you are saying that nobody else should buy a car apart from you. But that's what greed is.
Thank you for listening to Destiny Word by Dr. Michael Wedinyamiche. We believe you have been impacted to fulfill your purpose. For more transformative and uplifting teachings from Dr. Nyamiche, kindly join us at the Maker's House Chapel International Destiny Arena, adjacent the School of Nuclear and Allied Sciences. Join any of our services, Sunday Word from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., teaching service on Wednesdays from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. and our flagship program, Morning Aura, on Saturdays from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. to engage in prayer and experience the supernatural. You can also be part of our online services, Command Your Morning, every weekday from 4:45 a.m. to 6 a.m. and Power Up Your Week every Sunday from 11:30 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. on our social media platforms. For more information about our ministry, you can reach out to us on 020-004-7488 or 026-681-3275. Additionally, visit our website at www.themakershouse.org. God bless you abundantly as you journey towards your destiny with courage and faith. Destiny Word. Be empowered to take territories and fulfill destinies.